produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by River of Heaven Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-929-477-2324. Again, that's 1-929-477-2324.
Hi, welcome to the Whosoever Group radio show. My name's Sam, a.k.a. The Happy Crow, and today I got a special guest with me. This is my wife, Carissa, a.k.a. Mrs. Happy Crow. How are you doing today?
Hey, howdy, hey.
Hey, howdy, hey. All right. Before we get into today, don't forget to check out our website at www.whosoevergroup.com, thefacebook.com/whosoevergroup, and Twitter at Whosoever Group. All right, let's get into it. Today we have an interesting topic, as we always do, because I think they're all interesting, and that's my opinion. So we're going to go with that. We're talking about honesty about biblical modesty. There you go. There's our rhyme scheme. Now, the actual topic was started off of a Facebook post that my wife showed me, and it got me a little heated at first, and then I figured, you know, this is very much worth talking about because the church has many different definitions of this, and we actually need to see where we're going with it, because we a lot of times like to talk a lot and not actually ground it in biblical basis. Everything we do needs to be grounded in the Bible, or else it's just our opinion. And frankly, our opinions are 9 times out of 10 wrong without the Bible. So let's get into this a little bit. The post that started this whole thing was talking about modesty, and it was from a youth pastor, and he felt terrible that he had to have his daughter, he had to go shopping for his daughter for a bathing suit for, I believe it was a summer camp or something, and because it was a Christian camp, they wanted to make sure everyone, all the girls were wearing like a one-piece suit, and then he felt that he was shaming his daughter, like body shaming his daughter, and then he started to feel guilty about the girls that he told as being a youth pastor, like, no, you guys got to go to camp. You can make sure you have the proper, you know, swimwear and all that jazz, and going back and forth. And he felt that he was just doing it wrong for all these years. And then the comment section back on it was very interesting. The first thought on this was the entire thing that he wrote about seemed extremely emotionally driven. God gave us emotions for a reason, but if we use our emotions without biblical temperament, you're never going to wind up the same answer as the Bible. That's God's word to us, and our emotions and our hearts are always going to lead us astray. So let's see what this guy, what the comments were. They were saying, like, one person said that I've been feeling body shame for a while that I never knew I had until I went out into the world and kind of did my own thing. My first question to that is, well, you're saying you never knew you had body shame, Well, does that mean you didn't have it then? Because how do you have something that you don't know about? That's very confusing to me.
I don't think it was so much the body shame. It was the whole modest, whole air quotes, modesty movement and how they felt that modesty brought on their body shame.
Okay. That's interesting. I find that very odd. But let's see what the biblical definitions of modesty are. So I'll give you the man's standpoint, and I want my wife to contradict me and or throw in her two cents when she finds something interesting here.
Oh, don't you worry, I will.
So the biblical rules for modesty for men. A lot of times everyone goes right to dress, like to how men and women dress, which is definitely a part of it. That's 100% part of it. It's more than that. For the man, men are very good at I call it peacocking. You know, like when the feathers for the peacock, they come out and they have the bright colors and like whatever. That's like every teenager in like a U.S. teenager's boy's bathroom has reeks of Axe body spray and stuff like that. Why? Because they're trying to attract a mate.
So, and let's be honest there, Happy Crow. How did I first come to notice you?
She smelled me. So obviously it works. Everybody do it. No, don't listen to that. No, don't. That was a joke. But the whole thing is, and that's, it's a pride thing. And as teenagers, as young people, until you are trained to how to think properly and how to approach these things properly, you're going to go down that road because it's natural. It's a natural thing. You want the opposite sex to like you. So therefore, I'm going to do whatever I can to attract them. So you're strutting around like a peacock with your feathers out. Then that's what the guys do. But that comes back to pride.
You're smelling like Pepe Le Pew. I don't know. Yeah, however you want to look at it.
I'm telling you, if someone would have lit a match in a boy's bathroom at my high school with all the Axe body spray, which I was a very big part of, so I have to take the blame on a lot of that. Man, that bathroom.
Thankfully, I didn't go to school with you.
That bathroom would have blew up. It was bad. so much fumes in the air, but it's a pride thing because we need, as men, we feel like we need to stand out. We need to show who we are because the reality is there's a lack of confidence. To be honest with another thing, guys, and especially at the younger age, were very cruel to each other. We are not the nicest people to each other. And your self-confidence is a very fragile thing. So you can find your worth in many different things. And a lot of times guys will try to find it in the outspokenness of personality and all that. And they get lost in that. And that's their confidence. And that is part of modesty. Modesty is being humble. And that normally comes with age. Being humble at a young age is a rare thing. So as for another thing for men, like, when you wear the clothing you wear, a lot of times people go right to the women with clothing. Like, well, they shouldn't wear this or that. I'm not disagreeing with that point. But what I am saying is men do the same thing. Women react differently than men, but also men's reasoning behind it is actually the problem. Mm-hmm. The reasoning behind it is, once again, that pride of trying to attract attention to yourself. That in that attention seeking action, you're fully in control with pride. Your pride is fully in control of you, I should say. It's not even that you're dressed like showing anything that's inappropriate. It's just you're trying to have your looks be the first thing that people notice. And because we're human and we see things through our eyes, that is the first thing we notice. But that's actually on a side note, that's a really neat thought for people who are blind. Because they, in my opinion, they could get to know somebody inside before they can know the outside because they don't see the outside.
That's right.
So that's a very interesting thought process. I'm not saying one thing one way or the other with that. I just find that interesting that somebody could be able to process it that way. So it's actually can be a blessing in that respect, not in all respect, but in that respect. So that's kind of the from the guy's end. Now, for the guy's end with the women, here's where it's going to get interesting. Now, in that article, whatever that was, the post, the father is saying that men, the boys and men need to control themselves and this and that. And guess what? He's right. Men do need to not lust. They need to not show their primal urges, whatever you want to call it. Their sinful nature is what it actually is. Mm-hmm. At the same point, though, the same way how men are going out and peacocking, guess what? Women are doing the same thing. So the fault is not an either or. A lot of people want to draw the line at either or and say either the men have to fully control themselves and this and that, which men do need to control themselves. Please don't get that twisted.
Yes.
But there's also the fact that men need to control themselves and also women need to show their modesty also. So this is where Mrs. Happy Crow is going to jump in. Like, what is your view with modesty? Like, for how, like, a woman dress, act, like, what's your view on that?
Well, I want to give the definition of modesty first. So the quality of being moderate, limited, or small in amount, in a behavior, manner, or appearance intended to avoid, I'm going to butcher this word,
impropriety.
Impropriety. Thank you. Or indecency. So to me, modesty, it's not just about your clothing. It's your lifestyle. And as a Christian, so the Happy Crow was saying how men do the peacocking because of their
insecurities.
But also I think for young girls or women, a lot of us have body issues about ourselves. We don't like how our nose looks, or that we have more than an inch you can pinch on your stomach, or your behind doesn't look good in these jeans and hers does. And there's always this comparing going on, and it's always looking at self. But as a Christian, where should our focus be? It's supposed to be on Christ. And modesty also goes with all of today, where it's just about me and my self-image and how I feel and how you feel is,
comes second to how I feel.
Right. We're in this me state of mind. I'm not saying everyone. Please don't get that wrong. But a lot of the world, humans are just so self-centered and self-absorbed and just so infatuated with their looks and how their appearance comes off to others.
On a quick side note with that, I just want to remind everyone of what the Bible says about the end times and say men will be lovers of themselves. And we got that one on lock. Where we got that one for sure. Where we, a lot of times, this is a Western culture. We love ourselves more than anything else. The man in the mirror is the one who motivates us for everything. It's even a teaching. And the people are taught, like, you got to look to yourself for happiness and this and that. The whole point is the looking inside, who are we inside? We are sinful, natured people. Try to find happiness in that is trying to find, a smorgasbord meal in the worst possible fast food restaurant you've ever seen with a 1-star review. It's not going to happen. You're not going to find a good, healthy meal there, no. But yet, that's where we're looking. We're looking into a desert and praying to find water, and it doesn't have anything to give you. And that's how we look at ourselves.
And we're not saying that you yourself is not important. You are important. You matter. But I think what gets misconstrued so often is that you're just supposed to focus on yourself and not who your identity is. Who are you as a Christian? We're specifically talking about Christianity right now.
Our identity is in Christ. And it always has been, always will be. So we have to make sure that we're remembering that his... I talked about that in one episode, Meaningless. You in and of yourself, it's nothing. The reason you have meaning is because of Christ. But yet we're still trying to find meaning in and of ourselves when that doesn't happen without Christ. We start with him, we end with him, that's where it all begins and ends. So let's move forward a little bit on this. Let's talk about the Israelites in modesty. They were talking about the God gave them a law. For us, we have the law of, he told us to follow, Jesus said, follow me. There's very specific things that Jesus talked about, and especially that it got expounded upon by like Paul, like different rules for lust and things like that. But the general rules they gave were not very specific, and that was for a reason. The law of the Old Testament was very specific for a lot of different things. Now, if you have kids, that anyone with a child knows how that I tell my kid, here I'm going to use a cookie jar example. I'm going to tell my kid not to go into a cookie jar, and he's going to go, and don't get, you can't have a cookie if you're getting it from the cookie jar. Okay. What if I get my brother to give it to me? We never thought of that one now, did we? We're obeying the letter of the law, but what was the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law was, hey, I told you you can't have a cookie, but I didn't get the cookie. My brother gave it to me, so that makes everything okay. Well, God, that's why God gave us this general guideline for a lot of different things, and it's to say, okay, how does this honor God? You can take that to the extreme if you want, no problem. That's what a lot of people do. They'll be like, "Well, you have too many earrings. You have a tattoo. You have this. You have that." Okay, you want to go there? We can have those individual discussions on all those different things. So there's every side to that coin. Everything with God says you have to balance that out. What does God have to say? And He gave us also this great thing called personal conviction through the Holy Spirit. And you're never going to know one way or the other without the Holy Spirit. You're going to have your opinion, but your opinion without the Holy Spirit's conviction, without the Holy Spirit's movement in you, is worth nothing. Let's be honest. We need the Holy Spirit for everything. Now, for the Israelites, they did that. What they did, the cookie jar example, very well. They went around the letter of the law. They did not follow the spirit of the law. We're performing the sacrifice, especially with the Pharisees. Around Jesus' time, they were performing all the sacrifices. They were doing everything just perfect according to how, you know, it was supposed to be laid out. I don't know the exact number, so forgive me on this, but let's just say there was like 100 rules set out in the Old Testament. Well, they expanded that to like 100 plus, 200 rules. I'm throwing around fictitious numbers because I don't remember the exact. They added more to it, but that wasn't what God wanted. The whole purpose of the law was to follow Christ and follow God. And at that time, they wanted just to have more rules to be able to point you one way or the other. That's not what God wanted either. So we have now under Christ, under our new covenant with Christ, we have freedom. Paul talks about that. But let's read in Romans 7. Or do you want to read that, or should I?
I can read it.
All right. She reads better than I do for that. So Romans 7, 7 through 12.
What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. From apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good.
So we can do an entire teaching on that specific section of scripture because there's so much to break down here. We're not going to get into everything, but what I want to get into a little bit is, I found the very commandment that was intended to bring me life actually brought me death. That would be verse 10. I wanted to give more just so you understand the context. Because people got, you can get so focused on that law of whatever it is that you miss the big picture. You're too much in the you're too much staring at one tree and you're missing the entire forest. There's so much more in that. People focus on, let's say tithing as an example, as a lot of people are still very much divided on that. You got tithing, you can say, hey, I believe you should be 10%. Well, I think that was dead. You're going back and forth. You just wasted so much time just having that argument. You're allowing the law to divide you. You're allowing something that is not, was meant for your good now to divide you. For this modesty thing, God told us to be modest. God wants us to show him in our lives, and yet we're still getting divided by the specificity of these little details here and there. So it comes back to asking the questions. Do you want to follow the letter of the law or the spirit of the law? If you're binding yourself to an arbitrary rule, and then also when you bind yourself to those arbitrary rules, you're gonna wind up judging. How many times have any of us ever looked at somebody and said, I can't believe what they're doing. You ever did that one?
Yes, many times.
And guess what?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
And in that moment, we're judging. Now, let's not get that part twisted. I want to very quickly explain that one. A lot of Christians in modern church today says, well, the Bible says, judge not. Yes, he does. Please read on. Judge not, lest ye be judged. For the same measure to which you judge, it will be judged unto you. What does that mean? You better not judge somebody unless you are following the same rules and patterns. It's not saying, just to break the modern church bubble, it's not saying not to judge. It's just saying be honest with your judging and the fact that you need to be willing to follow the same rules you put forth for others.
Because if you're not, then you have no business saying anything.
Yes.
Keep your mouth closed.
Yes. Because if you're going to be a hypocrite, please explain to me how that's going to further Christ's kingdom. See, that silence, that's because it's not going to happen.
That's... No, and what you're going to end up doing is hurting somebody more than you are helping mm-hmm. them.
And in Matthew 7:3-5, Jesus talks about getting the speck out of your brother's eye when there's a log in your own. Here's the thing with going back to this with modesty. You have these people preaching about, well, we need to have less worry about this whole modesty thing. But yet for women, let's be honest, what you're doing is showing off parts of your body for others to see. For men, your modesty is a lot of times in your pride in how you're perceiving and objectifying women. It's all wrong on every side.
Well, and I think a lot of times too, like growing up in a Christian home, Christian school and church, there's this misunderstanding of modesty, and you know, you're taught that you're responsible for someone else's sin. Or for how someone else looks at you and how the way you dress. You could be covered, you know, no neck showing, no ankle showing, but you're not going to stop somebody's thoughts.
Lust is a heart condition. And that's the thing. We all have to fix our heart condition first before our physical conditions can change. So, and wrapping this up, we do need to be preaching about freedom biblically. But in that biblical freedom, we also need to understand that we have the rest of the world looking at us. You can't live your life according to how everyone else does, wants you to, but you do need to live within the biblical freedom of what does God have to say about this. and we have to submit ourselves to him. We need to be, as Paul said, a slave to Christ. If I'm, well, when you think of that term slave, a lot of it's in negative connotations, but let's think who the master is.
That's right.
That's the best master we could ever have. So I'm more than willing to be a slave to Christ more than anything else. Well, today we will talk to you guys later. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check us out on www.whosoevergroup.com and facebook.com/whosoevergroup and Twitter at whosoevergroup. Thanks. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.